something is certain. If you stick to the word, you will come back with a testimony. What God wants to give you in your life is not a healing. What God wants to give you in your life is not a job. What God wants to give you in your life is not money. What God wants to give you is the word of God in your spirit. It'll make you what it talks about. And you are shining. And you are shining by the power of the Holy Ghost. You are shining by the power of the Holy Ghost. You are shining and nothing can stop you. It is your season. It is your time. Nothing can hinder you. This is your time. This is your hour. Favor is yours.
This is the continuation of the message. The pursuit of purpose.
Hallelujah. We began discussing yesterday night the pursuit of purpose. Once you have your statement of purpose, and you know there's clarity in your purpose, the next thing is to be in pursuit of your purpose. There are too many people who are waiting somewhere in their comfort, expecting things to happen. And the only things that happen are crises and bears. Problems come to them. Their bears mount up. And they can't effect any change. You see, let me tell you something. The Bible says in all labor there's profit. In other words, you have the advantage if you will work. If you will do something that changes another man's life and do it consistently, everything about you will be taken care of. It is God's principle. There's a law at work in nature that pays you back for what you put in. Even when you render service at no charge, irrespective of what that service is. At the beginning, it may not be smooth. At the beginning, it may be rough and tough. But sooner or later, it will pay back. It's a law at work in nature. You can never be cheated. But a lot of people don't understand this. And so they tire of putting in effort to help somebody else. They tire of helping other people stand up. And they say, well, I've done this for this person. I've done that for the other, help the other person. I've done so much for many people and nobody remembers me. No, just keep doing it and keep doing it better than you used to. Soon enough, it will pay off. It will pay up. I'm telling you, you will not lose. It will pay off. You will not lose. Just a matter of time. You cannot cheat the giver. It's a law. And so soul winning is hard work. Soul winning is something that we've got to do. We've got to reach out to somebody else who needs Christ and make Christ available to them. See, Christ is in me now. Christ is at home in my heart now. Christ is at home in my house. He lives in my house. He lives in me now. He set up his headquarters in my life, in my heart. Where I go, Christ goes. But the sinner can never see Christ until I go to him. The unconverted will never find Christ until I go to him. I must have that understanding. I must have that mentality. I shouldn't think some other Christians doing it. Because there are people that he is called to reach out to. He's got his own world. I got my own world. We all have our own world. You have your world. I told you last night, your world is your sphere of contact. Those that are in contact with you are the ones that God will hold you responsible, ultimately responsible for. He will not hold me responsible for those that are in your world. He holds you responsible that for those that live around you, that work with you and around you, that are in contact with you in business. He holds you responsible for them. You are the one that has Christ. You are the one that can make Christ available, irrespective of your problem. You see, those who look at the sun do not see the shadows. If you set your gaze on Christ, you won't have to think about the problems that distract you. They will not be there. Hallelujah. That's why we say that soul winning is God's number one job. It's the most important thing in the earth. After you have become a Christian, you are set on a mission. Everyone becomes a missionary to his own world. You're a missionary to your world. You're God sent to your world. I may have been sent to bring the message to you, but I am not sent to take it to your world. You see that? You've got to take it to your world. Who are those who know you? You must be in contact with somebody somewhere. You must be in contact with some people, even if you've never spoken to them. Hey, don't you see them? Don't you hear from them? Could you be so blind to their need? I remember when I went for street evangelism, those years, house to house, I went from house to house, knocking on doors. Sometimes some people were rough. You know, they opened the door and like, yes, what do you want? Because they knew I was a stranger. They didn't know me before, so, yes. I said, I want to share something with you. I want to talk to you about Jesus. Some of them say, oh, yo, come on. I want to discuss with those people. Come. Some of them said, well, I don't have time, and shut the door. And I waited. Are you still there? And sometimes they came out and sat down. Some of them said, no time. And I went to the next house. Sometimes I met people outside and came to them, greeted them, and told them I wanted to share some good news with them. Anyway, sit down. I went out to meet a lot of people who were working. You know, these builders and, men who were working on construction sites and so on the break time, I came to them, sat down with them, preached the gospel to them. I went from house to house. I took streets. I went from house to house to preach. See, a lot of people don't understand that. There's something about passion for Christ and for his saving message. That's why I'm still doing this. Are you listening? That's why I'm still doing this. Because you see, as I preached from street to street, it was not enough. I used to wonder, when will I ever finish this? I got some of my friends to help me. And we'll divide ourselves into groups. Sometimes we went in twos or in threes and then went preaching the gospel from house to house. And after that, we went to hospitals to preach. The toughest was when I went to psychiatric hospitals. It was terrible. I thought that as soon as I just came, the demons would just cry like, oh, and I was just like, get out of them, get out. And just start preaching to them. No, it was tough. It wasn't that way. It wasn't all of them that had demonic problems. Some of them had been on drugs. Some even pretended until their minds, they lost their minds. All kinds of things. You know. But you see, it showed me where the needs of people were. It showed me where the needs of people were. I went from school to school, including children's school, preached to them about Jesus Christ. What I'm saying to you is this. You can't, it's labor. You've got to do something. You can't just be there. You see? You can't just say, well, I've called some people and they didn't come. No. You've got to go out where the sinners are. Sinners generally don't come to church. Some may come to church, but generally the majority of those we need to reach don't come to church. And the only person that can go to them is the one who is born again, who has seen the light. He's the one that must go to them. You know, we are in a terrible situation today where many Christians think that the preaching of the gospel is left to the minister, the preacher on television. No, but they're wrong. Soul winning is for the everyday Christian. Soul winning is not what we do on television, even though that's wonderful. Soul winning is not what we do on satellite, even though that's wonderful. Soul winning is seeing someone else and bringing Christ to that person and letting Christ stand up in you and look through you and feel through you and talk through you. Papers don't love. Screens don't love. The man sharing the gospel with the sinners on television cannot love them where they are in their problems. They need someone that they can touch, someone that they can see. You can have any image on television, but they want an everyday Christ, and that everyday Christ is you. And that's something you've got to know. Something you've got to know. Are you still there? Yeah. So that's what soul winning is all about. It's something that we strategically plan as individuals or as groups. And it is a divine responsibility. It's not something that it's not something we shirk and expect somebody else to do.
Do you know about the incredible features of the SeeTunes app? It's not just a music platform, but a tool for spiritual growth and empowerment. First, SeeTunes offers a vast library of gospel music from around the world. You'll always find songs that uplift and inspire. SeeTunes also provides powerful audio messages. Access teachings from Pastor Chris Ayakalolendi CDD and other ministers of the gospel for guidance, encouragement, and enlightenment. One of SeeTunes' groundbreaking features is its interactive capability. Connect with other Christians in real time, share testimonies, and participate in discussions. SeeTunes is a community for building relationships and supporting each other on our spiritual journeys, changing lives worldwide. Visit www.ctunes.org. Download the SeeTunes app today from the Lovell App Store, Google Play Store, and the Apple Store to unlock a world of inspiration. SeeTunes, where every feature brings you closer to God and each other.
This message is brought to you by Christ Embassy, Siluco 1, number 18, Siluco Road, Benin City. Worship with us on Sundays. Sundays 8 a.m., Wednesdays 12 noon and 5 p.m., Fridays 5 p.m. For prayer and counseling or to share your testimony with us, please call 070-606-03228, 080-982-62823, or send an email to radiotransmissions@loveworld360.com.
This is the continuation of the message. The pursuit of purpose.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So discipleship is our responsibility. It says, go ye therefore and teach all nations. He said, go ye therefore and make students, pupils of the nations. This is wonderful. What a responsibility. I remember years ago, as a young lad, it was, I believe it was 1977. Yeah, 1977, I was standing somewhere with a little Bible, a small Bible, and thinking in my mind. All I knew to preach then was what I heard my dad teach. You see, my dad used to help out in church sometimes. The pastor would ask him to preach. I never understood what the pastor said when I came to church. But when my dad was preaching, I understood what he said. So to this day, I can't say one thing that any pastor said in that church that I remember. But I remember many things my dad preached in church because I had my attention. I was listening. Well, so apart from the things that he shared with us, I didn't know anything else. He also shared at home. But on this occasion, I was thinking, what was I supposed to preach to other people? So I was outside. This was when I realized that I was no longer afraid. Are you listening? Because that evening it was raining, and suddenly there was thunder and the lightning. And before then, I would have been afraid. I would have been thinking, oh, hope this thing's not going to get me. But that day, I felt like I was a child of God. And no matter what, this wasn't to destroy me. My father was the boss, you know. That's the way I felt. And I was so happy about it that I felt that way. So now I was thinking, what am I going to preach? What am I going to say? So outside there, with this little Bible that I held, Gideon's Bible, New Testament version, I just opened. When I did, I was amazed at what I read. Jesus said, as you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of God is at hand. Heal the sick. Cast out devils, cleanse the lepers. I was so touched. Guess what? I started telling people, the kingdom of God is at hand. And suddenly, the message I'd heard my dad preach made more sense to me. Because in church, he often preached on the end times, that the world was coming to an end, and that everybody had to get ready. So no wonder Jesus, you know, but the Holy Spirit now helped me understand this. Is it the kingdom is at hand? So, you know, so now it made more sense. I had my own scripture now. So I was going out and telling others that the world is coming to an end, you see, because the kingdom of God is here and you've got to be saved. Praise the Lord. But it took 3 more years for me to understand the other part, heal the sick. Because I never saw them healing the sick when I was in church, you know. So, heal the sick, cast out devils, all of that. I didn't understand that until 3 years later, 1980. So that was a new thing, you know. But I had that part of it in my mind. I didn't know what to do. But in 1980, I had received the Holy Spirit. I was now speaking in tongues. And you see, that is one other beautiful thing about the Holy Spirit in your life. Because you see, the Holy Spirit is your teacher. You see, you now have the teacher inside you. No more confusion. What you didn't know, he will teach you. He will lead you. He will guide you. This is most beautiful. And you know, because now I have the Holy Spirit inside me, it was different. I somehow knew what to do. So, we attended a certain meeting, and I wasn't a leader. I just happened to have been one of them. But I was full of the Holy Spirit, and I knew I was full of the Holy Spirit. And when we came to that meeting, I stood out, and I said, everyone who's sick, come out here. I'd never seen it happen. Just in my Bible. And the Holy Spirit now was teaching me. This was going to be my first experience praying for the sick. So I said, everyone who's sick, come out here. And they were like, wow. You know, like, what's he going to do? So they hesitated for a while, and I kept insisting they come out. And finally, they tripped out, and so I said, kneel down. So, like, you know, who does he think he is, kind of thing. So they knelt down, and the others stood around, and they were watching me. Then I stood in front of them, and I said, in the name of Jesus Christ, be healed. Then I said, that's it. Yeah, you're healed. My prayer for them was so short. That's all I knew I was supposed to do. So when I said that, I said, so, yes, you are healed. And they were still on their knees looking. I said, check your body, you are healed. Check your body, you are healed. You are healed. So, and you know, one by one, they started getting up to testify that they were healed. And there was rejoicing. They were healed. The next night, boy, they had gone to tell the story. They hadn't seen a miracle. It was new. It was fresh. They went to tell the story. And more people came. And now they're expecting me to do the same thing. And I did the same thing. But then there was more. There was more. There was more. Now it was time to tell them, challenge them, and say, the promise is on to you and to your children, and to those that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. Now I'm telling them, they've got to receive the Holy Spirit. I had two friends with me too. One was older than myself. The other one was my classmate. And we were taking this thing together and sharing together. You know, it was just wonderful. We would pray together and come in for this meeting and we'll speak one after the other. And I said to them, you can receive the Holy Spirit. We're going to lay hands on you to receive the Holy Spirit. And I read to them, they received the Holy Spirit in Bible days when people laid hands on them who had the Holy Spirit. And they were ready. And guess what? Right after sharing, we went forth and laid hands. And people began to fall just like that, fall under the... I'd never seen it before. That was where I saw it. This was way back 1980. They fell down as we laid hands on them. Oh, boy. Life had changed. Are you hearing me? They received the Holy Spirit speaking in other tongues. It was different now. Oh, thank God, thank God, thank God, thank God. This is what you must do. Every member of that cell must have the Holy Spirit. Share the word with them. Everyone in your cell must have the Holy Spirit. Share with them on the importance of having the Holy Spirit. Without the Holy Spirit, they will not be motivated to win souls. Churches where they don't major on the Holy Spirit. You know, a lot of times in many churches, they may talk about the Holy Spirit, but not minister the Holy Spirit to them. So on Sunday, you have maybe few people that have the Holy Spirit. Most don't have the Holy Spirit, and yet we tell them to go and win souls. They cannot have the boldness. You have boldness when you are full of the Holy Spirit. And when things look dull, and it looks like you're somehow feeling timid about preaching the word, stay up what you got on the inside. Speak in other tongues until you prophesy. And as you prophesy, your spirit will be so stirred. Then go and preach the gospel. Hallelujah. Remember, without the Holy Spirit, they can't preach the gospel. They'll be dead and cold. Let them have the Holy Spirit. Your hands are anointed. Are you hearing me? I told you, every cell, 25 members at the least. Well, after you've gotten 25, start another one. And start another one. You can have 3 major groups, 5 major groups. Doesn't matter. Do it and see what the Holy Spirit will do in your life. As you multiply souls, so will your life be multiplied. Jesus said, anyone who honors me, my Father will honor him. You honor Jesus by preaching about him, by telling about him everywhere. You honor Jesus by testifying of him. And as you testify of him, he says, my Father will testify of you before the holy angels. Oh, glory to God. And guess what? Everywhere you go, he will honor you with his presence, with his grace. And everything you do will be successful because his hand is upon you. You have honored him, so he honors you back.
We trust that you are blessed by the message you just listened to. We invite you to make Jesus the Lord of your life by saying this prayer. Oh Lord God, I believe with all my heart in Jesus Christ, Son of the living God. I believe he died for me, and God raised him from the dead. I believe he's alive today. I confess with my mouth that Jesus Christ is the Lord of my life from this day. Through him and in his name, I have eternal life. I am born again. Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. I am now a child of God. Hallelujah.
Wow. This message has been brought to you by Christ Embassy, Siluco 1, number 18, Siluco Road, Benin City. Worship with us on Sundays, 8 a.m., Wednesday, 12 noon, and 5 p.m., Fridays, 5 p.m. Thank you for joining us today. If you will like us to pray with you or to share your testimony with us, please call 070-606-032-28, 080-982-62823, or send an email to radiotransmissions@loveworld360.com.